James chapter 1. We read this last week. We said, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If anyone you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. We talked about you're in a trial for a while, and that the answer isn't just somehow looking for an emergency exit, that there's a work in the midst of trials that happens in us if we are patient. Patience will have a work in us and will create, and what will be developed in us is endurance, to be able to endure. We talked about asking for wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom, we said the answer is not let him ask Google. It's asking God and not being unstable and asking for wisdom. We also talked about that James, the brother of Jesus, starts off by not even identifying where the trial comes from. That's not the important part. Is it from God? Is it from the enemy of our souls? Or is it from just living on the planet? James doesn't start off by talking about what the source of the trial is, because sometimes, I mean, we just speculate and we guess wrong. And very simply, James says, when you're in a trial, and when you're in a trial for a while, you need to have your eyes on God. Let's look to God, not at other places. And this is where we pick up what James is writing to us. This morning, verse 9. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat that withers the grass, its flower falls, its beautiful appearance perishes, so the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, but each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good, in verse 17, every good and every perfect gift is from above. Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. James, in the first verses, will have talked about we're looking to God, not Google, for wisdom. And then he transitions to external temptations. In the midst of trials, we will experience temptations. Those are two different things. Trials and temptations. There's a distinction. In the midst of trials, he starts off by just talking about probably the easiest ones, external temptations, external struggles. And often we talk about God or Google. Probably more often we talk about God or gold. If you just had enough money, things would be okay. The answer is money. We need God or we need money. We live in a world distracted by resources. And James speaks to mature believers or maturing believers and says this, if you don't have much, you can glory in your exaltation. That's temporary. Because what we look at here on the planet is only temporary. It's all biodegradable. It's all going to burn. It's all perishable. And so if you don't have much, it's okay, because our hope is not in what we have in this world. Scripture will say that one's life does not consist of the possessions we own. But not only does he say this lowly brother? And notice he doesn't just say the lonely person. This has to do with a Christian. This has to do with a brother, a believer, struggling with a lowly state. It says, but the rich in his humiliation. Because he talks about no sooner has the day dawned, has things started and it's already over. That life is like a vapor. That we look at the wonderful appearance, it says, which will fade away. You don't have unlimited time here on the planet. And it's like you're just getting started and it's over. Just like a flower that withers and fades away. It's temporary. And then we come to this part. Blessed. We just spoke a blessing over Danny and Jacqueline. Spoke it over our congregation. We want to be blessed by God. We have been blessed by God. Ephesians will tell us that we're blessed with every spiritual blessing. But when we think about this blessing, understand the context. It's in the midst of a trial. It's in the midst of a hardship, and it's not something that you're just kind of in and out. You're in the trial for a while. That's what patience and endurance is all about, and it produces in us maturity. But James will say there's a blessing in it. Blessed. And now he deals with the internal temptation, not just the external stuff. Blessed is the one who endures temptation. We're not just to endure trials. We're to endure the temptation and not to give in to temptation. For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. The temptations that we face in the trial, and depending on the trial, there can be many. I had a trial that endured longer than it needed to because just of my attitude. As I was going through airport security in Vancouver, and I had squeezed out what I seemed to be a reasonable amount of toothpaste. So my 170ml container of toothpaste was down to 100. But the TSA agent did not agree. And I was in the Nexus line, thinking I have entitlement to my toothpaste. And there were some options. I could leave security and go back out into the concourse and squeeze out a more reasonable amount of toothpaste. Or leave the toothpaste there. And my trial endured. And so I left my toothpaste in YVR. And I came home to tell my tale of woe to my family, to Audrey and the two girls, Robin and Emily. And they all sided with the TSA agent. I'm mostly over it. When we go through temptations, going through temptations, we're all tempted, but may it just be like passing through shadows. We pass through temptations like we pass through shadows. They have no grip on us. They have no hold on us. We're tempted to do and think and feel a lot of things, but let them not take root. Let's just, in a trial, when we're tempted to respond in ways that we would seem entitled or justified or arrogant, even if we're in the wrong, may we pass through shadows and they have no grip on us. It says when we've done that, when we endure temptation, not give in, you be approved, receive a crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who, and I love this, it's not just those who obey him, but those who love him. Our relationship with the Lord and saying no to temptation, all those things, it's not just merely following commands and dictates and statutes and ordinances and judgments. It's we follow him because we love him. And because we love him, that causes us to keep his commandments. And now James says, let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. Here's the source moment. He's not determining where the trial comes from. Is it from God? Is it from the enemy? Is it from our own sin, the consequences? Job's friends got it wrong. Here's why your life is falling apart. Here's why everything's going sideways. It's because there's sin in your life. James is telling us in this, don't focus on the source of the trial, but let's be clear on this. The temptation is not from God. You're not in a trial that he might prove that you can withstand the temptation. He will always provide a way of escape from temptation. Some people misquote that verse. And the context is it's a way of escape. God, bad things do happen to us. And sometimes people say, well, God won't give you anything more than you can bear. Misquoting that. He'll only give you what you can bear. Come on, Tuesday is more than I can bear. I need Jesus for everything. There's lots of things I can't bear, but when I'm tempted, he will always provide a way of escape. Let no one say he's tempted by God. Because God, not only can he not be tempted, he doesn't tempt us with evil. It has to do with who God is, his nature and character. It just doesn't touch him, and he doesn't use that. But here it is, James begins to explain. But each one. It's amazing that he brings it so personal, because we started out, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes who were scattered in the dispersion, and who are scattered abroad. And it's this big, broad statement, but he brings us to let each one understand this. This is personal. But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. That drawn away has to do with being dragged, being pulled. It has to do with being carried away captive. It's amazing that sinful desires will carry. It won't just, oh, you don't get carried away. Don't get carried away captive. You are being carried away into captivity, drawn away, dragged, carried by his own desires and enticed. Enticed to what? Enticed from God's purpose of maturity. Enticed for the purpose of the trial, to refine the gold, to bring the gold out, for the purpose of maturity through endurance. Let's not just go through trials and hardships and sorrows and struggles and not learn anything and come out the same way we went in because we took a shortcut. God, have your way in me in the midst of trials and struggles when it seems like I can't endure anymore. Don't give in to temptation. It says, when his own desires are enticed, verse 15, then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. It's only a matter of time. There is a process in that. Enticement, give in to temptation. It says when desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it's full grown, brings forth death. See, the problem, I think, sometimes with temptation and when we give in to sin, we don't even know we're pregnant. We don't even know. We somehow give in to temptation and think that nothing happened. I can harden my heart towards God. I can be involved in this. I can have this attitude. I can tune that TSA person in. Over toothpaste, have I lost my mind? Right, that's how quickly carnality can just jump right up. And I think, God help me. And it says this, James says this, do not be deceived. We could stop right there and go back and think of what we've just heard. Do not be deceived. And he says this, this is new. He's called us his brethren. He doesn't give us the greetings like Paul will in his epistles, saying, oh, I've been thinking about you. I've been praying about you. You've been on my heart day and night. I'm always praying for you. I mean, James just went right to it. Speaking to us as mature believers. I'm concerned about how you're getting through the trial. Count it all joy. He says, do not be deceived. If you give in to temptation, there's consequences. You will be dragged. And it says that sin, when it gives birth, brings forth death. You'll be dragged to death. That's, the thief comes to steal, kill, and to destroy. Every enticement to sin has a purpose, has a strategy, has a blueprint connected to it. It is for your demise and your downfall. It is for you to be, it is for us to be in captivity, to be dragged to death. There's this downward progression. Just like Psalm 1, where it talks about blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly or stand in the path of sinners or sit in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, in it he meditates day and night. There's this progression of I was walking, and now I'm standing, and now I'm sitting, and now I'm stuck. And he brings clarity. Every good gift. God doesn't entice us to sin. God doesn't tempt us to sin. But instead, every good and perfect gift is from above. Every good and perfect gift is from above. And comes down from the Father of lights. And listen to this illustration he uses. Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. No shifting shadows. Go outside and look up at the moon and the stars, and sometimes the moon is waxing or waning and there's shadows. Look at the change. To be able to see Orion's belt, to be able to see Orion, you have to go in October. Things change to be able to see the constellations, and it's the shifting shadows. God doesn't change. There's no variation or shadow of turning with him. You can count on him. He's faithful. And in the midst of a trial, James tells us that God is good. And every good and perfect gift comes from him. There's no variation or shadow of turning. We'll conclude this morning with this last verse, verse 18. Now, he's just talked about good gifts. And he brings us to, again, not the temporal nature of gold, that whether you've got a lot or a little, it's all going to perish. Whether you're rich or poor, this life is temporary. He says this, of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Another version, NLT, will tell us, he chose to give us birth. And the kind of first fruits, it means this, you are his prized possession. James talks to us about trials and the difficulty and the hardship, and that you need patience and you need endurance, because in the midst of it, you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted. I wish I would have had a chance to get to the part where it talks about be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of God doesn't produce the righteousness of God. It means this, anger is not the answer. Be swift to hear as you ask for wisdom, ears open, be swift to hear, slow to speak, because we have become a nation of people who instead of are about critical thinking, we are about critical speaking. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, because the anger, the wrath of man, just getting so frustrated and angry, letting that out is not going to produce righteousness, the righteousness of God in the midst of a trial. Instead, he says, beloved brethren, God is good, and every good and perfect gift comes from him. He hasn't abandoned you. In fact, it says, he's saying, you are his prized possession. Don't forget this. Don't let the circumstance that you're in, your trial, your struggle, somehow dissuade you from remembering that God loves you and that you are of the firstborn of all his creatures, all his creation. You're his prized possession. Don't lose track of that. That his eye is on you, that he hasn't abandoned you, that when you're in a trial for a while, God's eye is still on you. And he is producing in you not childishness, perhaps childlikeness, but there is a maturity that we come to, that we're able to say, I can get through this because God is with me. I know in whom I have believed. This life is temporary. this earth is not my home. And I am someone who is blessed by God. Blessed is the one who endures temptation, because there is a crown of life awaiting for me. And I know this about a crown of life. If I get a crown, there's really no need to fit it, because I'm not going to wear it long. Because I'm going to cast it down at his feet the first chance we get. Because he's worthy of all our praise and honor and glory, no matter what we face in this life. This life is temporary. He is worthy. God, I thank you so much for James writing to us today. Thank you that you're the God who doesn't abandon us. Your word tells us that you are a very present help in trouble. God is my refuge. God is my strength. A very present help in trouble. So in the midst of God, I pray for those here this morning who are in the midst of a trial, who are in a struggle. God, and we recognize that if we're not in one, we're about to be. It's because we live on the planet, and in this world you have tribulation. God, we recognize the trials of life, sometimes even the very trial of our faith. God, help us, oh God, not to give in to temptation. We recognize temptation does not come from you. What comes from you is a way of escape in temptation. God, that we won't turn to wisdom from other sources, and we won't turn to anger and wrath. Somehow just be mad at everyone, or to even be mad at you. That's not going to produce the character, the endurance in us, the maturity that you have called us to. God, I pray for each one who is in a struggle and a trial, that your great grace would be sufficient. And God, that there would be such an awareness of your presence. And we ask for wisdom. We look to you. Wisdom, not just how to get out of it, but how to get through it. God, not just to somehow bypass the process, but to get through it. And to get through it with a good testimony, that we can even overcome the enemy by the word of our testimony, that you are faithful and you see us through. God, our eyes are on you. May your blessing be upon your church. In Jesus' name, amen.